Okay, so if everyone could turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, please. Have fun. They're probably going to have more fun than we are. It's all good. Matthew chapter 5, please. Got it? Here we go. We're going to start in verse 13. And this is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount series that Pastor Brian, Pastor Lorenzo, and Pastor Bob have all began so wonderfully for us. So, Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Pray with me, please. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your living word, that we can read it and just be touched by your Holy Spirit and guided by Him, that we can be shaped more and more into the likeness of your Son, that we just read these scriptures with joy, knowing the promise that your Son came, died, and was raised again to fulfill in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's start with salt. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Well, if you put salt of the earth into like a search engine on your computer and hit enter, it simply comes up a good person. However, Jesus means a much deeper meaning to this. Farther on in verse 13, he also asks some questions of us. If we lose our saltiness, how can we lose our saltiness? And then he says, how can you gain your saltiness again? Well, let's dig deeper into what he means by salt. To do that, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we'll start digging deeper into this. Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the ways you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. One more verse to go into for salt here, and that's in Mark 9. Mark 9, and we're going to go to verse 50. Mark 9, 50. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. Well, if we simply look at the word salt that Jesus and later Paul are writing, the Greek word for that is halati, and that the literal is salt, but the figurative is prudence. Now, prudence is not a word that you hear in conversations every day nowadays. Prudence means wisdom, common sense, foresight, shrewdness, propriety, judgment, intentionality. Some of those words you hear a little more often. So how can we lose our prudence? How can we do that? Well, it seems to me, if you're reading in God's Word, you lose your prudence by conforming to the world, by doing what the world wants you to do. Oh, I don't want to make waves at work. Oh, my family, I don't want to offend anybody I know. Talking about Jesus. You lose your prudence for that. Makes sense. Also, what makes sense is, how do we gain our prudence back? Well, if conforming to the world and succumbing to the pressures of the world is what lost your saltiness, the opposite should be true. Thinking biblically, taking your focus from the inward and pointing it to the outward. You have to ask ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, what would Jesus want me to do in the situation I find myself in? It's super easy. Well, what would Jesus do? Well, that can be daunting for people too, because last time I checked, Jesus is perfect, and we are not. We are flesh. We are fallible. Jesus wants us to strive to do our very best to be the ambassadors he calls us to be. Does he know we're fallible? Of course, he's Jesus. He knows everything. We need to seek Jesus in prayer. We need to seek him in his word. And we need to do our very best to be sensitive to what his Holy Spirit is telling us. So how do we regain our saltiness? Well, we can't. Not without Christ. Christ is the reason you are salty. For no other reason. Earth. Let's talk about earth now. Salt of the earth. Well, that basically just means planet. The world, right? But it may be a little easy to say, well, that's an easy concept, Pastor James. I got that. And be, you know, somewhat dismissive on that. If we take a step back from it and think about what Jesus is saying here, he's describing the exact role he expects us to fulfill. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to take his message and share it with the planet. Singly, it's kind of a daunting task, don't you think? Here you go. Brady, you got your phone? Call everybody in the world. Tell them about Jesus. That's where prudence comes in. We need to be wise. We need to be intentional. That's what the body of Christ is there for. Together, we will be the salt of the earth and take Jesus' message into the lives of those around us. Light. Light of the world. Well, the Greek word for light is phos. And that simply means source of light, radiance, or luminescence. I can think of no better scripture to start illuminating that word than John 1:1. We'll start John chapter 1, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Another scripture for light. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, please. We'll start in verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord, having nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. See, just as Jesus is the reason that we are the salt of the earth, Jesus is the reason that we are the children of light. On our own, we could do nothing. We could not even illuminate the weakest, smallest shadow. We could not do it on our own. It is only through Christ in us that we are empowered to become the children of light. Think of it this way. Before you came to Christ, before I came to Christ, before any of us came to Christ, we were these empty vessels. We were useless. We were not fulfilling the purpose that God created us to fulfill. Think of it this way. Say you're a flashlight. With no batteries, this flashlight does not fulfill the purpose it was made to fulfill. It does nothing for us. No matter how much I press this button, nothing happens. Now, not to say Jesus is a battery, don't get me wrong. I'm just illustrating how useless we are as empty vessels without Christ. Now that the flashlight has the batteries, it's been powered. It is fulfilling the purpose it was made to fulfill. Without Jesus in your life, you are not empowered to do a thing. It is only through Jesus and the cleansing of the Holy Spirit and Him living on inside of us that we can do anything. So let's go now to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 12. John chapter 8. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Before we start moving into the application portion of the message this week, it hit home to me that my own salvation testimony is very applicable to this. I was about 15 years into my Navy career. Jody and I had been married for about a little over 10 years of that. Our kids, and you all see my hoard over here on the end. Tabitha, my youngest, was barely out of diapers. So this was a hot minute, right? A little while ago. But as with most of the Navy guys here can tell you, to advance yourself in the military, you have to do what we call breaking out amongst your peers. How you do that is you take on more jobs. You take on more responsibility. You do more. You want to break out. Well, this is before I had Jesus in my life, and I was so centered upon myself. I was thinking about my career, how I could get ahead, how I could promote, what can I do? Here's my godly wife the whole time. I would come home stinking of helicopter exhaust and engine oil every day. My wife would probably use a couple other phrases to describe what I smelled like when I came home. But let's say I smelled like a man. Right? But I would come home miserable every day. Working. Spinning my wheels. I was getting nowhere. I was just miserable with my life. Here's my godly wife. I remember sitting on the couch one day, and, you know, there was money problems going on, car problems, just problems, and I'm just stewing in my own misery. Here comes my wife down the hallway, singing, smiling. And I'm thinking, is she not living in the same house I am? Is she not dealing with the same problems I am? Why is she so happy? This does not make sense. Not a bit. And I'm thinking, I want to be that happy. But I'm not. So I ask her, why are you so happy? And she simply looks at me and says, Jesus. And I remember at that exact moment, I want to be that happy. I want what she has. So, needless to say, the very next week I went to church. Soon after that, I came to Christ. And I have been much happier since then. Same problems, don't get me wrong. I still have problems, but Jesus does make all the difference in the world. He really does. So just like Jody's example in my own life made me ask that question, we need to be the example in the lives of those around us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 5. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So let's ask ourselves, what examples for Christ are we being? Are we acting like servants of God? Those are some pretty tough questions to ask ourselves, right? But they're necessary questions to ask ourselves. If someone was to ask your coworkers what kind of example you're setting, what do you think they'd say? How about your neighbors? What do you think they'd say? Here's an even tougher one. How about your family? What do you think they'd say? See, here in the Western church, we have things kind of backwards. We're all churchy on the weekends. If you open up Scripture to Genesis, God worked the first day, he worked the second day, he worked the third day, he worked the fourth day. All that week, he worked. God works every day. God does not just work weekends. So if we're being ambassadors for Christ, maybe that's the way we should go about things as well. We have to be thinking about what Christ would have us do every day. We have to be thinking biblically every day. Honesty, integrity, dependability. One of my wife's biggest pet peeves is when somebody tells her they're going to do something and then they don't do it. Put yourself in the mind of somebody that's curious about Jesus, that is kind of been thinking about going to church, but has not accepted Jesus yet. And along comes professed Christian that just gives them lip service. Oh, yeah, this and that, and I'll do this and I'll do that, and then they don't. What kind of example is that setting for that person that was curious about church, that was curious about coming to Jesus and changing their lives? It's not great. See, if we are followers of Christ, we are ambassadors of Christ. People look at us when they're looking for Christ. We have to be the example that points them to Christ. He calls us to be His salt and light in a dark and saltless world. It's that simple. It really is. We need to reach into the lives around us. We need to love on them. We need to pray for them. We need to turn our focus from the outward, from the inward, and point it outward. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. That's who it's about. We must be the salt of the earth. We have to be the light that shines into the darkness. So if you know someone that's struggling, help them. Somebody calls you, hey, I need help moving. Well, you know what? You should get up, go down, and help them move. You got a neighbor that's having problems mowing their lawn, get out there and mow their lawn. What you're doing is immaterial. How you're doing it and what example you're showing them is the point. Who are you being an example for? You are being an example for Christ. Show the love of God into the lives of everyone around you every day. Are you going to be perfect at it? No, no one is. Christ is the only one that is perfect. The point is to engage, to be intentional. If we do this, those people that are curious about Jesus and those people that are thinking about giving their lives to Christ, they're going to ask themselves the same exact question I ask myself. How are they so happy? What do they have that I don't have? And the answer is simply going to be Jesus. So, pray with me, please. Lord, thank you so much that we could come before you, we could be humble, we could think about you, keep you at the center of our thoughts. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit, that we could be the examples that you call us to be, that we could be the salt and the light into this broken and dark world. I just ask that you continue to empower us, convict us with your Holy Spirit, that we will continue to do the best we can to be the ambassadors for you that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.